Pipes Players present Bleak Prospect, a Depression-era scenario for Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition by Scott Dorwood from the Nameless Horrors Collection. Starring Dannon McAleer as former socialite Maureen Frayne, Joseph Chance as former businessman Thomas Dolan, and Dan Wheeler as former medical doctor Nathaniel Coombs. The keeper of arcane law is Dominic Allen. Chapter 7. Moist Air.
It's Malloy. And I start just trudging towards the house.
Now, just to be clear, character-wise, and this is just my memory being shite, I remember Roscoe Malloy being, or Roscoe McNally, or Roscoe the Mallard, being Thomas's nemesis that he's mentioned on several occasions. I can't remember if, as my character, I recognise that connection with the Black Cadillac, or if I'm just thinking of the fact that the Cadillac was the thing that disappeared when the faceless or masked people arrived, and we've been told comes up and down between Arkham and our Hooverville, because that's what I've written down.
Probably the latter more.
Yeah.
But you've certainly heard of...
I don't know if Thomas has explained Roscoe Malloy's potential connection.
I mean, you will have heard of Roscoe Malloy to some degree, because
yes,
he is relatively well known, and he does love his cars. That's
great.
Also well known. He stands out because he's one of the few people at the moment who's financially doing very well for himself.
I see. So I'd know that that's part of the bitterness between Thomas and him. Although I trust Thomas, I believe that Roscoe's a cunt. I just wanted to check, because I think my first thought might not be Roscoe, it might be whoever's been taking these kids, the faceless people. But either way, it's bad.
But is it a black Cadillac that's coming up the drive?
Yes.
Because we do know that it was a black Cadillac. So in some ways, I wonder if there is a little, for all three of us, if there's a connection there.
Yeah.
Because we were specifically told about a car. Did I have black Cadillac? Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. There it is, Cadillac, 2 a.m., went past the diner. That's we asked, didn't we?
The diner is where we heard about it. It'll speed along.
So I wonder if there's... Dolan's getting... I'm getting that sense of realization. It's not just that... How the hell is he so lucky? How the hell has he survived?
This is how.
Maybe survived by getting in on this project. This godforsaken place. And I'm just going for that back. I'm going for that back door.
But as we're going for that back door, as we all are sort of collectively making that decision, I do. Sorry to be here, but I think I do look at the doctor suddenly and go, Billy.
Yeah, I think that's the first thing that the doctor thinks.
Thinking of the car in the driveway still.
Exactly.
Or at least through the gates.
I spin round as soon as you say his name. I say, shit, what's the quickest way? Is it quicker to go through, do you think, than go round, Dom?
They're going to get to the car before us, one way or another, aren't they?
Oh,
shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, we'll just have to keep an eye on them, and we'll make sure no harm comes to him.
Well, we ask him as many questions as we can. What the hell is he doing here?
I'll go for Billy. You two do whatever you need to do in his house.
We all go for Billy. We get him, we ask him every question we have. Let's go.
I think you're right. You're right. But let's be careful. Let's sneak. They'll get there first anyway. Let's get there fast, but let's get there careful. Let's hug the walls.
Shit. All right, then you're up front.
Unlight your lantern.
Yes, and I start to fiddle with that. My hands are shaking. You can see. I put the knife down. My hands are shaking, and I'm trying to get this lantern to go out as fast as I possibly can.
I've got my gun out, so I instinctively start leading. Sort of. I'm assuming are we going around one side of the house?
So, you're to the north of the house right now.
Okay.
Facing the conservatory, the ballroom to the left.
Yeah.
The west wing to the right.
Yeah.
The driveway kind of doglegs, so you can see the main driveway, but it turns on the other side of the house, you know. Right. So you've got a choice, really. You can either go to the right, near where the workshop is and the generators. You can go left, round the ballroom, or you can go through the house. Through the house is potentially the quickest if you went straight through the conservatory and straight out the front doors, because the conservatory is kind of like the reverse of the mirror image of the entranceway.
So I think maybe I stop and say, what do we do? Do we go around this way or the other? Obviously, the house looks like it would give us cover, at least. We could wait by the front door. Whatever they do, we wait for them there, but what if they... I don't know what they're doing to these children. I don't know what they've already done.
Let's do that. That's a very good idea.
Okay.
Start sort of marching through.
And go to the conservatory. Yeah.
Is it the conservatory door that we blast off?
That was the gallery door.
No, it's the gallery door by the ballroom.
As you're marching off, I grab your shoulder and I say, you any good with one of these? And I hand the knife over to you. It's quite a heavy knife.
I was about to do the same.
Not particularly,
Because I'm probably as good with this as I am with my fists.
In that case, I could take it. Thanks.
Thanks. And that's all I say, and then I go to the conservatory door.
And I follow, and as I do, I say over my shoulder, you know, Doc, that Hippocratic Oath of yours, I don't know it off by heart like you do, but I'm pretty sure it's about protecting the innocent, right? Something like that.
First... Do no harm.
Yeah, well, what about if you're stopping other harm? Come on.
Mm-hmm. That's a grey area. Always has been. Always will be.
That's what I want to hear. Grey area is good. Keep that grey area.
You don't want to go in the grey area here. We tell you.
But I follow Thomas towards the...
I feel like we are the grey area.
It's just full of X-Files aliens. Smoking and playing bridge.
So since I can hear this conversation, it's probably the last chance that we'll have to talk. I think I do turn at the door with my hand on the door to the conservatory. I've done a little bit of a quick check to see if there are any sort of brain eating monsters.
Any mind flayers coming out of the wall
nearby. But obviously, I don't really know about such things. So, and I turn my head over my shoulder.
Well,
maybe I do see something.
What I will say is that the French windows into the conservatory are broken. So there's broken glass and rubble everywhere, weeds poking up. You realise that to get in, you're going to have to try and get through this pane of broken glass.
Might not be the quickest.
But I mean, is it on ground level, essentially, or will we have to climb over the...
Yeah, you've had to go up some steps. But yeah, it's ground level.
That doesn't strike me as too hard. Just step through a bit. Knock something away.
Well, I guess if we break... Yeah, if we knock it, we're going to alert people to our presence.
We'll make loads of noise.
Are they still driving, though? I'm assuming they're still... The sound of the engine's still going. They haven't stopped yet. Or maybe they have.
It's probably... Yeah, no, they probably are still driving. It's a long drive.
Which case... Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure... We've already shot the padlock off the gate. I don't think being quiet for anyone who was already here is my priority.
Oh, no, sure. I was worried about alerting them driving up.
But yeah.
If they're still driving. Let's go in. Fine. I step gingerly through the broken pane.
Okay. Are you all going through that way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll need a dex roll off each of you.
Ah, good. As we fall through the rotting floorboards...
I'm incredibly dexterous.
27 on my 60, so that's a hard success.
Nice.
Mine's a hard as well.
Quick like a cat.
I think my exhaustion is taking its toll, and maybe it's the tension of knowing that Malloy is there. So I have 84 on a 50. I'm tempted to push it, but it's a 50% chance, right?
Is there a way one of us could... No, there probably isn't, is there?
I'm gonna push the roll.
50% chance you'll get through. 50% chance you'll accidentally slice your wrist.
Which isn't great. I agree. So,
How are you pushing this?
I think I'm imagining I'm having to get my leg up and go over a part of a window rather than going through the door. Right?
Your femoral artery.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Let's expose the right kind of horrors. I think I'm actually going last because I'm conscious of that stealth.
And you are wearing a kilt, aren't you?
And I'm also the most sane. So, always wear the kilt. I'm hitching. Oh, even better, Dom. I'm hitching my precious fiddle around my shoulders, sort of trying to get it into the right position. And I think maybe it just weighs down. And so my foot starts to slip. So I grab a hold of both sides of the window framing without really looking and haul myself in. Rather than just one hand carefully, I'm just going to kind of launch through because I'm angry and I want to get to Malloy.
Yeah, impaling yourself on a shard of glass.
And I roll an 18. Oof.
Ooh, hey!
It's tense.
That's what we like, man.
Nice.
That was tense.
So yeah, I launched through.
Doing the rest of the entire scenario with a big piece of glass stuck in, you'll be like, it'll be fine, we're just going to get through this.
We're just going to do this.
It'll be fine. So, you all manage to slink through, some easier than others, but you find yourselves in this, yeah, smashed up conservatory.
And you said there were lights on in the house since the generators have been turned on. Is there spill from that? Are there any lights in the ballroom on? Or is that relatively dark?
No, the ballroom's collapsed, pretty much.
So the ceiling is gone. No lights.
Yeah. And we've got to cross the ballroom to get... Because, bearing in mind, I know this place very well.
No, no.
I would know the quickest route.
So you know that on the other side of the conservatory, behind these double doors, is the main hallway.
Right.
And the front door.
Great.
Directly ahead.
Sorry, trying to keep it all in my head. Yeah.
Right.
Although the ballroom does call to me, as it's my meaningful location. So there is a part of me, briefly, that really is tugged in that direction. But I think I stay focused, and I sort of lead the way. Gun out. Yeah.
So,
is there a chance we see that? Her looking...
Probably. I think maybe it's strong enough that I sort of stop.
Do we see her stop and linger?
And take a breath and sort of look through or look in that direction and then sort of say, no, come on. Charles is gone. It's Esther. It's all about Esther.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of saying that to myself as if it's a mantra, but you would have probably heard that. No.
So you push open these two double doors and there is this gust of air that sort of blows across the three of you. And it's this meaty, organic smell. A nauseating smell.
Vegan nuggets.
There's a whiff of bile. Vegan nuggets.
Like a really, really, like, farmy Cab Franc.
Yes. Yeah, there's a whiff of bile. Maybe even excrement.
But that could be us.
Hard to tell in this company, I was going to say.
It could be.
Yeah.
Could be. The air is unusually warm and moist.
Moist.
And as you step through the doorway into this T-junction of a hallway, this grand staircase is to your right, entrance to the ballroom to your left, and then ahead of you, down the corridor a bit, is the grand main entranceway. As you step through, you step onto the carpet, which is squelchy.
Sodden.
Whoa. It's sticky. Really sodden with something. The walls themselves are clearly very damp. It's creeping up the walls. You can see it in the wallpaper. Wallpaper's hanging down in different places. And
see, I think about the greenhouses I saw that were smashed and the stuff coming out of them. Merging with the undergrowth, and I think I probably feel like this feels like the interior of a greenhouse in the height of summer. I get that impression, right?
Yeah, but smellier.
And that just strikes me as like a really weird thing, but there's something meaty to it, which is not natural, obviously.
Yeah, it smells like a butcher's shop.
Could I do some sort of science roll on the atmosphere or the substance under our feet or the appearance? The lights are on in here, right? So I can see.
Yeah.
Could I do a biology roll?
Yes. If you give me... Well, we'll see what level of success you get.
Or a natural world? Would that be better?
Unnatural world?
Biology is good. Whichever you'd rather.
Biology
would probably get you more information.
Biology. And I suppose the most obvious thing is like, is this just a substance or a... is there something I reckon... Is this familiar in any way? Or is it like completely...
Oh, that's a really good success. That's almost extreme. It's hard.
Hard success. Yeah, it's very familiar to you, but probably not in a way you'd like.
Oh, dear.
It's certainly not. At first, your mind goes to what could cause this sort of damp and mold. Is this, you know, what is this substance? Is it water? You touch it, maybe? Or I don't know if you do. It's so sticky, and the floor reminds you of something. It reminds you of doing physical examinations of people.
I knew you were going to say that.
It reminds you of the inside
of a body.
Of a body. And then there's another gust of meaty air.
Ugh. Oh. As if we're in a lung.
And with that realization, that's a sanity roll.
Fail.
I think I see him leaning close to some part of the wall or whatever it is, and I say, "Hey, Coombs, what is it?" But it's low, in a whisper, because I'm sort of conscious that the two of them are slightly distracted, and I'm trying to push forward, but I'm a bit nervous.
And I say, just before I go mad, I say, "It's alveoli." Is that what they're called? The little.
And I say, yeah. "Hell of a time to think about food, duck." I don't, obviously.
You lose 1 point of sanity.
And have
a bout of madness.
Yay!
I mean, I've lost a lot of sanity now. Obviously, I'm indefinitely insane. But is there a point? It's just now, when I reach zero, I'm truly fucked.
Yeah.
But I don't get any. I don't get anything for, like, being at half my starting sanity, for example.
Oh, but sorry, I have forgotten to dish out Cthulhu Mythos points.
Oh, yeah.
there is that. You've literally just reminded me in this conversation, though, so that's good.
I'm always forgetting Cthulhu Mythos points. So you will have... Obviously, I'll fix this in the edit.
Yeah.
So I look like I know what I'm doing. So, yes, if you've had one bout of madness, you've gained 5 Cthulhu Mythos. If you've had 2 bouts of madness, you get 6.
As we thought.
So I lost a sanity point, so I'm having a bout.
That's right. Who do you care about most?
Billy.
The Bilster.
Oh, yeah.
We are trying to head towards.
It's the root of all our problems, really, isn't it?
Poor old Billy. So you hear Billy.
Oh, fuck.
You hear Billy somewhere upstairs.
Oh, I'm lost. Are you there? Back.
Billy. Billy. Billy's upstairs. They've taken him upstairs.
Oh, he can't be, Doc. He can't be. He was in the upstairs. Car, right?
And I start looking for a flight of stairs.
Yeah, there's one to the right.
And I head towards it.
Doc, fuck.
Billy's upstairs.
Oh, Thomas, I mean, he could be. Last I saw him, he was in the car, but he could have wandered into the house, I suppose. It's not that crazy.
I heard him. Listen, Billy is upstairs. Will you listen?
Can I do a listen roll?
Yeah.
That's a fail.
You try and listen, maybe.
I'll do listen as well. I don't think it's good enough.
I'm trying to entertain the notion that Billy might have wandered into the house and gone upstairs, because I'm still thinking Esther's here somewhere and there's some connection here. It's not unfathomable he's in there.
Yeah, I can't. 38 on a base, chance 20.
Because also it's only the Doc who went back to get the car and knows he laid Billy down in the back seat. Last time we saw him, he was halfway up the drive. I mean, it's been a long time since then. He could be in the house.
I think we were taking as read that we knew he was in the car.
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally. I assumed he was in the car, but there's a chance.
But obviously there's still a chance he could have got out. And we've...
Yeah.
The Doc's been through some stuff with us. I think I'm very torn.
Which is maybe what we're saying to each other. I don't know.
Yeah, essentially it is.
He might be right. He might be right.
Sure. I know. It's just Malloy's coming down the drive, and I...
I know. We need to cover the entrance at least. Are there any windows by the front door? Like, is it glass panels either side, or is it just like a frontispiece door?
The door has stained glass in it.
Right.
What's the Doc doing?
I'm going upstairs.
You're going to go up the stairs?
Yeah.
Maureen, go with Coombs. I'll watch the door.
You sure?
Yeah. Yeah, look for Esther. Okay. See if she's up there.
Well, make sure you're hidden.
I shall.
Don't do anything. We should have a signal, but I'm basically leaving to follow Coombs, like you said. Because as soon as he said, go find Esther.
I'll do an owl call.
Okay.
You'll know it if you hear it.
I'll do the sound of a dying giraffe.
It sounds like... I'll have to trust your experience on that one, Maury.
Okay. Thank you, Thomas. I basically agree with you. I say I'll do the sound of a dying giraffe, and then I reach out and sort of touch your hand very briefly, and then I scurry around onto the main staircase with Coombs.
I brush off the sloughed, dry flakes of skin that have been left on my hand, and I move to the front
door. So rude.
It's just a fact, right?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So the dock, you're going up the stairs, presumably quite pacily. When you get to the top, there's a number of bedrooms up here. The master bedroom, you can see the door to it is swinging open and shut slightly. Boom. 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 And it seems to be with these gusts of air. Reminds you of a valve.
Yeah, of course it does. Billy? Billy?
I was going to say, playing the MD in this game is a fucking nightmare. I mean, as soon as you choose medical doctor, you're fucked. Of course you were looking at patients back in the camp. It's not a camp, it felt like a camp.
It did.
Yeah, it feels like
Am I close enough that I catch up with him as he's at the top of the landing, sort of looking down at these doors, saying, Billy, Billy? Or am I?
I think so. As you get to the top of the stairs, you see the doc shouting, Billy, Billy.
I say, shh, quiet. And then I say, Esther, Esther.
Very good.
There's silence for a moment. And then you feel this sort of, you feel it in your stomachs first. This vibration.
Oh no. Same one.
And not quite the same.
Okay.
And the door of the master bedroom stays open. It just sort of swings open and stays open. Beyond is pitch dark. And then you hear this. Ooh. Is it.
And, I look Coombs. I look the doc in the eye. Sorry, I keep calling you the doc, but I think that's what I would have called you in the camp.
Yeah.
I look you in the eye.
Yeah.
And just,
fine.
I just nod and I raise my gun and I move slowly towards the door.
And I raise my knife and my fountain pen and I move towards the door as well.
Please.
Oh, God.
Me.
Just to be clear.
Is he saying words that I can't hear?
Does it sound like Johnny Reese?
That sounded more like words. That sounded more like words.
Yeah.
So I'm looking through the window, down the front. How far is this car away?
It's probably just turning the corner towards the house now.
Wow, we made good time.
Would I be able to...
But, like, it's not far. It's there.
Would I be able to run to the car to see if Billy's in it?
Yes, but you might get seen.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's in that moment of crisis of realizing that's not the best use of my energy, and it's such a defeating moment. It's just a continuation of this damned ill luck that haunts me. And I look back across to the... I might not be able to get a view from it from here. The sheds and the outhouses and the square building, the new square building. I can't see them from here, can I?
No.
But I think I look at the electric light and I think, chilling gas resonator. I think I even say it under my breath. And then I think, have we turned it on? Is it a thing that you can turn on? I don't even know that. I don't understand the physics. I just know I remember the name. And then I look around for a weapon. Are there any weapons?
Probably not.
Yeah.
In your immediate vicinity, because you're in the hallway, right? But there are doors. There are doors around. You've not been to the mansion before, have you? So, but you could probably guess where some of the rooms are. There's going to be a kitchen. There's going to be a dining room. There's going to be, you know, a lounge.
But essentially, the only doors that lead off from here are the ones upstairs, Or the ones back into the conservatory.
Ballroom. Or the ballroom on the left, right?
Oh, the doors from here? No, there's also... so there's... in the hallway, there's a door to your immediate right, and there's a door to your immediate left.
Which has been clear.
And then on the way back to the conservatory at T-junctions, as you're now facing the conservatory, to the right is the ballroom, to the left is the stairs, and then beyond the stairs are the doors that you saw.
I think I'm going to try one of the immediate doors, just very gently, just kind of peek in, see if there's anything, the one closest to me to my right, I guess.
Okay. To your right as you're facing the front door.
Yeah, because my focus is definitely on the...
All right.
It's classic that I'm the tired one with a sense of sickness. So, of course, the idea of running over to the car is just disaster for me.
I am going to say that you do hear, as you do this, you hear the sounds that they're hearing upstairs.
I think it probably makes me pause, and I listen to them. But I'm committed to the action now, so I'm just going to check anyway, because... anything that can give me some reach, like if I can wait, if someone pushes the door open, I can swing a bat into them, or just anything that might give me a little bit of advantage.
So you open the door on this room. There's a faint electric light illuminates. The first thing that hits you is the smell. There's this really strong smell of bile, acrid bile. And in fact, the walls are even wetter in here. There's this viscous sort of greenish yellow liquid dripping down the walls, and it gathers in pools where the wall meets the floor.
God alive.
There is a large dining table in here that looks very weathered. You could give me a... Oh, no, you can't.
Yeah.
You're just poking your head through the door, right?
I'm going to close that door and go back to the other one. I'm expecting it to be the same, but I understand it's probably back upstairs because this has done a couple of things now.
The other room...
I'm now expecting it to be a bit different, actually.
It's a 50-50, isn't it?
It's a body, isn't it? The whole house is a body.
That's what it feels like. And I wonder if it is. I wonder if it's Hawks. I wonder if it's Aston Hawks, but...
You've been in one...
There's no way that... I mean, yeah, Dolan's 1,000 miles from that decision right now. Maybe not 1,000.
This other room is a slightly different. I mean, it's clearly a parlour room, a sort of front room. The upholstered furniture is bloated with liquid. It's all warped and weird in here. It doesn't smell as bad, but there's still a very meaty smell. There's a hint of iron in the air, and between the cracks in the wallpaper, you can see this thick black liquid dribbling down.
Yellow bile, black bile.
I think I close that door too, but I nod this time, and I unsling my belt. And during the process of whatever you guys are doing, although you'll have loads of stuff to do, I take my fiddle out and the bow.
Yeah.
Do a Nero.
and I
starts playing Paddy McGinty's goat.
I stick the bow in my belt. Do I do this?
And I play the fiddle with the belt.
Ready now, ready, different show. No, this is what I think about doing, but
you do none of it.
I think I've got the case in my hands, and I think I'm thinking about maybe the case would protect the fiddle, and maybe I should go down fighting. Yeah, fuck it. Do you know what? I'm going to open it up. I'm going to get the fiddle and the bow out, and I'm going to stick the bow down my belt, and I'm going to have the fiddle in one hand and the case in the other, and I'm going to wait by the door and see what the car does.
I was so hoping you'd start playing like the Fields of Athenry or some Irish rebel song to lure them in.
I may do that.
There's still time. Yeah.
So upstairs... what's going on?
What I'd like to do is, as we approach, and I've got my gun out, and I've seen the doc raise his knife and his fountain pen, however he's doing it. I want to stop a few paces from the door and turn to him and sort of just make a sort of a stop sign with my eyes. And I want to light one of the lanterns that's over my arm, and then I want to like swing it and chuck it into the dark room, into the master bedroom. And as I'm swinging it, just before I let go, I want to say, Billy, Esther. And I want to throw it in.
I was not expecting that. I run in there yelling,
Billy, Billy. Just set fire to Billy.
So let me get this straight. Who's got the highest dex out of you two?
Me, 70. So if I can, I'll stop him.
I saw you probably see what I'm about to do before I do it. Because I say, Billy, Esther, but you can see me swing this thing. But because you've got higher dex, I'm assuming you get there before me, or...
So, yeah, is it fair to say that the doctor runs into the bedroom just before...
Oh, well, if I get a chance to stop him hurling her lantern in there, I will.
I rattled my bottles in Rolex's yard.
I think it's fair to say you probably see what I'm about to do before I do it. So if you want to try and stop me, that's one thing. If you've already gone in the room, I probably won't throw it because I don't want to throw it at you or get it muddled by you going through the door. So
yeah, well, let's say that's what happens then. So,
what are you doing? Billy's in there.
He might be, but let's light up the room first. It's not going to cause a big fire. We just need to light up the room. Anything could be in there.
Are there electric lights on in this room?
It was dark, right?
No, it's pitch dark.
That's why I was throwing the... Yeah. It's not like I was lobbing it like a shot put. I was just trying to swing it in through the door. So I'm assuming it'd land on the floor.
I have a little question. So we heard what sounded potentially like a voice. Were we able to interpret words?
Yes, that's good.
Like, I don't know whether I couldn't hear because of the like connection, or whether you were being ambiguous in whether words were being spoken.
You give me a listen roll.
Okay. No good.
Nah, fail. Listen.
Yeah, that's no good.
It may have sounded like vague words, but I didn't get the...
The second time round, to me, it sounded like, please, something, me. It didn't exactly sound like kill.
Well, the first time round sounded like, who is it?
Sounded something, but I couldn't... I wouldn't even go that far.
Could have been fuck. Yeah.
But the second time, it was definitely something like, please, something, me.
The first time sounded like, who is it?
Yes.
Me. But the second time, I wasn't sure.
So, hard to say without passing the listener on.
So you've stopped me throwing the lantern, and I turn to you and I say, we need to light up the room.
Now, when you say light up, do you mean light, or do you mean light up?
There's not a huge amount of light. It's not like I've spilt an oil drum in that room. It's only a gas lantern. I can't imagine like any blaze it might cause would immediately incinerate everything in that.
But it's like an oil lamp, right?
Yeah. But I mean, the amount of oil contained is just in that, the foot bit, right? It's not enough to like, even if it breaks open it, I wouldn't have thought it'd be enough unless you were trying to start a fire and there was kindling already to just fucking decimate a room. I might be wrong.
Well, the house is made of wood.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's hope I don't fumble. But you've stopped me anyway, so maybe this is what we're saying, and then I say, okay, fine. You want to go in? Go in, I'll cover you.
Yes, good. So I do, I make my way towards the door.
Take this, and I hand him the lantern I lit, the one of the three, and I just sort of try and edge around the back of him so I've got like a line of sight towards the door where he's headed.
So you're going in together?
I'm just behind.
One behind the other. But you're following through.
But I'm following, yeah.
Right, okay. Well, in that case, Dr. Coombs, or both of you actually, you walk into what is clearly a master bedroom. At first, you can just sort of make out the shapes of, you know, the double bed, the four-poster double bed, the, you know, the bedside tables. There's a little occasional table, of course. Armchair.
Only every now and again, but yeah.
Yeah, standing lamp. Well, you know, I love my occasional tabs. But as the light sort of catches these things, first of all, you see the walls are wallpapered in what looks to be a very red, purple, almost velvety wallpaper, which matches the carpet. And as the light touches these objects, this furniture in the room, you see that it is actually all one. They're all coated in this purple, fleshy matter. Ooh. And that's sanity rolls for both of you, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, Scott.
But there's all I'd like to ask while I'm rolling this sanity point, there's nothing in the bed.
No.
Okay, it's not like there's a figure in the bed. This is just a room full of what seems to be flesh. I rolled a 12. And my sanity is now 33, so actually I do pass.
I did not roll a 12. I rolled a 61.
Well, weirdly, you both lose one sanity point.
Oh.
Right.
Well, I have another bout. So that's another point of mythos. Excellent.
So, as you take in this room, you both have bouts of madness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You hear that noise again, and this time it's much clearer. This time it's slow and it's breathy, but you realise it is a voice, and it says, I can show you where Billy is, where Esther is. And a crack goes up across the wallpaper behind the bed, and it begins to open, and beyond it is more fleshy matter, and these little white rocky lumps, and then this enormous red carpet unfurls. And beyond, in the darkness, you hear these two little voices.
Hello? Mom? Doc? We're scared.
I'm coming, Billy. I'm coming.
Can I do any sort of roll to see whether or not, like intelligence or something, to see whether or not I believe this is her? Because I'm desperate to find her. I'm desperate to find her. But I know her so well. She's my only point of contact to my past life. Like, would it be an intelligence roll to see if I believe this is her voice? Does it sound like her, or is it someone imitating her? Or,
well, this is about madness, so as far as you're concerned...
Oh, yes, of course. I forgot. In which case, I run straight in.
Yeah. That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
So you charge...
Well, I clamber up on the bed, onto the tongue, or whatever red carpet it is, yeah. And I sort of peer through the crack, and I say, Esther, I'm coming. I'm coming, Esther. And Billy, and we'll save all of you. And I've got my gun out still, and I start sort of trying to make my way through that gap in the wall.
Well, as soon as you get on this red carpet, it begins to pulsate. The entire room pulsates, sort of has this big convulsion, and the carpet underneath you pulls in with this kind of noise. And the only word you hear, flesh, as you disappear into this darkness, and suddenly you're falling, sliding. It's wet and close and sticky, and you land. Boof, boof, both of you. Can you both give me luck rolls?
Yeah. I'm glad you're still allowing us to roll. That I didn't. I thought that was us. It probably is, but.
Well,
yes, yeah, failed. 13 on my 20 luck.
No! That's amazing!
Yes!
Sorry, Dan.
Hail Hydra.
Okay.
How'd you do, Dan?
No, I failed, obviously.
Obviously.
My luck is 12, what do you expect? Because I spent all my luck on reversing the car up the drive.
Oh, God, you did, yeah!
Otherwise the car would have got stuck, though. Remind yourself of that.
I think I spent 22 points of luck doing that.
But the car would have got stuck.
Yeah.
And throughout all of this, we've had the hope that we could possibly drive away.
Exactly, yeah. We had to hold on to that hope.
So...
You need hope.
Hmm. True enough. I'm assuming this is so everyone, all listeners, this is the prequel to the Boba Fett solo series.
Yeah.
We're in the Sarlacc being ingested over 1,000 years. We have to fight our way out.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Luckily, Stormtrooper's right in front of you.
Exactly. Can take his oxygen, use the flamethrower, you're sorted. Climb through sand. Don't think that's possible, but whatever. Old Shovel Hands Fett, that's what I call him. Anyway.
So, Maureen lands, you land softly in some very wet carpet.
Not the first time.
The doctor, unfortunately, lands onto a quite old and worn dining room table.
Oh, hello.
You're in the room next door.
Yeah.
Do I...
This is fucked.
I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want to know if I've heard you land.
Clearly fucked. I thought that was it. I thought that was it.
Well, that was my next question. Is can you give me a listen roll?
It's really tempting to spend the luck on that.
Meanwhile, Coombs, you lose 1 point of hit points. 1 point of hit points, you lose a hit point.
That's not bad at all.
I've rolled a 25 on my 20 listen, so I haven't heard that. I think probably because I'm too busy getting stressed about seeing if Malloy's approaching the car or whether he's parking elsewhere.
With his faceless goons.
Yes. So yeah, you're in this room. There's a strong smell of bile. And there's this green-yellow liquid pouring down the walls, gathering up in pools at the floor.
The stomach.
There is one door.
I think I say that, like under my breath. The stomach. We're in the stomach.
No, I tell a lie. There are two doors. There's one to the east and a smaller one to the west.
The poop chute and the piss chute. I guess this is where we decide, Maureen, whether we want to get shat out or pissed out.
Are there any windows? Not that I'm there, but are there any windows?
A good question. There are.
All shuttered.
Well, no, they're not. But after you've said that, Doc, and you stand up, and you're saying, we have to decide whether we get pissed out or shat out. At that point, you hear this soft click, click, and then the window shutters just...
Boom.
The electric light starts to fizzle, and it gets darker in there, and then suddenly you're in darkness, and the floor seems to be getting wetter.
We're about to be digested.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, outside of this room, Thomas Dolan, hearing nothing, what do you do?
Maybe I should have spent that luck. Fuck, I don't know what's going on in there. I'm waiting to see what Roscoe Malloy does.
So you're looking out this window, and you see Malloy, he's holding a gun.
He's getting out of his car, okay.
And he's wearing a white silk handkerchief across his face.
The white-faced men. The faceless men in masks.
And he's looking down at your stolen car, and he looks through the window, and he taps on the glass, and then opens the door.
And I start playing the violin.
He stands up straight and turns, and he probably can't see you, you think, but he just happens to make eye contact with you through the stained glass, and holding out his gun, he walks up to the front door. Yeah, what time do you want to stop, by the way? That's a good point.
Midnight, please.
Yeah, okay, great.
We'll just have a half an hour afterwards. We won't do anything. Nothing will happen. Nothing weird will happen. We'll just have a little half an hour afterwards. And...
Yeah. And nothing.
All they do is waltz and kiss each other.
Yeah, every time we leave, Dan, that's all me.
And then collapse.
Five Cthulhu mythos and lose most of our sanity.
Now Dan's gone, let's get really weird.
Dan loves it when we're weird. He wants us to be weird now.
Yeah.